Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. House Republicans say they will bring a new farm bill to the floor today that breaks the four-decade farm and food coalition by dropping nutrition spending from the legislation. The House leaders became convinced yesterday that they have enough votes to pass a farm-only version of the bill. The bill would keep the same commodity, conservation, crop insurance, and rural development provisions that were developed by the House Agriculture Committee and amended on the floor before the full farm bill failed to pass on June the 20th. A key difference, however, is that the legislation also would repeal the 1938 and 1949 permanent farm law. The new Title I would become permanent law. The White House issued a statement late Wednesday opposing the new farm bill and hinted at a veto, saying that nutrition programs benefit rural, suburban, and urban areas alike. This morning, USDA released its latest export sales report for the week ending July 4th. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 54.1. Corn this year, 15.4, next year, 25.9, and soybeans this year, minus 2.6, and next year, 15.1. This morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 120,000 metric tons of corn to China during the 2013 and 14 marketing year. Also, the sale of 120,000 metric tons of soybeans, option origin sales for delivery to unknown destinations in the 2013-14 marketing year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 15,425, is up 133 points. The NASDAQ, 3556, up 35. And the S&P 500, 1668, up 16 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Weather conditions across the Midwest will perhaps be a little less hostile compared to what the computer forecast models were suggesting 24 hours ago. The change that has taken place has to do with a building ridge of high pressure off the Atlantic coast that will be building inland into New England and some of the Middle Atlantic region. And as this high pressure system builds in, it will actually force a trough of low pressure that is currently over that region to the west. And we'll actually see a storm system move from northeast to southwest across the Midwest and ultimately end up in Texas, which is a movement that you don't see very often in the U.S. And this is something that will result in a perpetuation of more normal temperatures across the region and an opportunity for a handful of showers to occur as the system rotates through the region. We'll expect to see the precipitation amounts to be light. Don't look for any major soaking to come out of this, but the showers and the few thunderstorms that do occur will certainly help to support the pollination process for the crops that are already reproducing. A little shower activity and seasonable temperatures with highs mostly in the 80s, along with good soil moisture, is the perfect setup for the crops to be successful in the pollination process. So for the next 7 days, it looks pretty good across the region. In the second week of the two-week outlook, the models are still promoting a couple of cool fronts to drop through the eastern part of the U.S. If both frontal systems occur as advertised, they would bring an opportunity for a few showers to occur. No major soaking, but a few showers and also a continuation of seasonable temperatures across the region, and that will again continue to reinforce the pollination process. Now, in all cases, you'll notice I haven't mentioned much about the Western Corn Belt. The western areas will continue to be missed out on some of this precipitation. Portions of Iowa and Kansas, Nebraska, and Missouri will all see a drying tendency over this next 7-day period. Now, portions of Iowa will be accepted from that, and that's the big challenge in today's forecast, is determining how much of Iowa will get rain and how much will not. There will be a disturbance in the Dakotas and Minnesota over the next few days, and actually a couple of them, and they will have opportunity to bring some rain southward into parts of Iowa. I think that there's a very low probability that the majority of the state will get a good drink of water, but there could be some precipitation in parts of the region that would be interpreted as a beneficial thing for some of the state. But for areas further to the south, Kansas and Nebraska and Missouri, there's very little chance for meaningful precipitation for a while in this first week of the outlook, for sure. And in the second week, I think that it will still be a bit of a challenge to get meaningful rain to occur in some of these areas. But with that said, there will be a better chance for showers in that second week of the outlook than there will be over this next 7 days. Well, putting it all together, over the next few days, there will be an opportunity for a little bit of precipitation, obviously, through the Midwest. Temperatures will be mostly in the 80s across the heart of the region. We'll look for some temperatures that will be hotter on the western fringes of crop country. On the west side of the Missouri River, temperatures will go not only into the 90s, but probably over 100 degrees. In fact, if you have interest in the plains, you should note that temperatures will be well over 100 today from parts of Texas to Montana, and we'll likely see it repeated from Texas to South Dakota for Friday and Saturday, and maybe on Sunday will continue to be hot in the central plains. In the meantime, our temperatures daily will be in the 80s most often. We'll likely look for low temperatures at night, mostly in the 60s with a few upper 50s peppered across the parts of the region, and the bottom line is still favorable for most of our crops. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are trading. July hard red winter wheat is not. It's still settled. No bids there. September 7.11 and a quarter, up 2 1/4. July wheat, the soft, 6.85, up 13. September 6.81 1/2, up 2 1/2. July corn, 7.20 3/4, up 11. September 5.51 1/4, down 2 1/2. December 5.16 1/4, down 5 1/4. July soybeans, 15.96 3/4, up 5. September 13.32 1/2, up 3 1/2. November 12.87, up 2 1/4. July soybean meal, $5.25.50, up $5. September, $4.15.30, up $2.40. July soybean oil, $47.16, up $18. September, $47.01, up $27. August live cattle, $122.12.5, up a nickel. August feeders, $151, up $45. And July lean hogs, $102.15, up $22.5. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Morning to you, Dave.
What did you make of the export sales today?
Export sales, certainly not too exciting on the beans with the negative number for this year's crop, but the corn numbers I thought looked excellent for next year, and the wheat numbers looked very encouraging, none for next year, but all this year at $54 million. Looks like China's going to need to import more wheat this year. They've been buyers all along. They say they're going to import 5 million metric tons. USDA's been listing something a little less. Last year they took a little less than 3 million metric tons. So China may be a story on wheat this year. They're a continuing story on the beans. They say their bean crop is about 12.3 million metric tons, down about 4% from a year ago. USDA was carrying import needs for China on the bean side at 69 million. Might be interesting to see what they say this at 11 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, we do have the WASDE report. I suppose it's all about old crop corn this time around.
I believe so. Old crop corn and old crop beans. Certainly the inverses in the market and the cash well over the board prices suggest that we may see some smaller carryouts than what USDA had been carrying. Notice too, Dave, that with tomorrow's expiration on these July grains, we still have open interest of about 2,800 contracts of corn, about 1,400 contracts on the beans.
That's a good number.
Yeah, could see some fireworks there.
Does August begin to build the bowl spread to the November when July go off the board in the soybeans?
Yeah, I think we will see more of that bowl spreading. I don't know how long that's going to last, whether it will last into the final trading days of August.
What else is important for us to know today?
Watch the meal, because it's been having to do a lot of lifting to keep the beans going, and the bean oil's been weak, and this morning we're seeing the bean oil move back higher, so I'm going to be watching that meal pretty carefully.
Thank you much, Ellen. That's Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace: July corn, 7.21 1/4, up 11.5. September, 5.51 1/4, down 2.5. December, 5.16, down 5.5. July beans, 15.96 3/4, up 5. September, 13.30 1/2, up 1.5. And November at 12.85 1/4, up 0.5. A program note: we'll have special coverage of the WASD and crop production reports this afternoon at 12:40. Here on AM 580. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 9:01 Central.